Thank God for Jesus. Thank God He's our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Healer. He is our everything. And because of Him, we are lost unto Father God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Today we're going to talk about the fact that your word is alive. Your word is alive. At the Friday service, we talked about becoming holy temples of a holy God. God loves us. God created us to fellowship with us. He used to walk and talk with Adam. He told Moses, "Build me a sanctuary that I might dwell among my people." And he moved from the tabernacle of Moses to the temple in Jerusalem. And today, He is in every believer. He is in you and He is in me. For that intimacy of fellowship. That's how much He desires to fellowship with you and to fellowship with me. And we saw that to become that holy temple that God wants us to be truly be, we have to allow God to change us from the inside out. As you all know, on the day that Jesus was crucified, the veil in the temple was torn in two, signifying that there was no longer a barrier between man and God, but that we could come, each person individually could come, not needing a high priest, not needing a pope, not needing an anointed man or woman of God, not needing a pastor, but each of us could come boldly onto the throne of grace for mercy and help, that we could fellowship with God and talk to Him. The rending of the veil gave us access to Almighty God, to our Heavenly Father. But God dwells in our spirit, but we have the veil of our heart, that prevents God from having that total access to our entire being the way we have total access to Him. And God cannot part the veil of our hearts. We have to do it. So God's desire is for us to partner with Him and to change us from the inside out. We partnered with Him and we became born again. On Friday, we saw the one-to-one correlation between the levels of the Word of God and the trichotomy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. And in Hebrews 5:13, it is written that he who is feeding on milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. If you're a baby, you're feeding on milk and you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, milk, the Bible says milk belongs to the newborn babe. That when we are first born again, we should feed on milk. So the spirit, at the spirit level, we're born again, and now we feed on milk. But the meat of God, the meat of the word, is what sets your soul free. The engrafted word sets your soul free. And we see in Hebrews 5:14 that after it is written that those who are feeding on milk are unskillful in the word of righteousness. It goes on to say in 14, verse 14, that strong meat belongs to them who are full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and bad, between evil and righteousness. We learn to be skillful in the word of righteousness as we feed on strong meat. So, we see that the milk corresponds to those who are just born again, so we say at the spiritual level, using the trichotomy at this point in time, the spirit level. Meat belongs to those who are getting their souls set free. And finally, we see in Hebrews 5:14, the senses are exercised by strong meat. Having their senses exercised by strong meat. The senses are at the level of the body, the five senses in the body. So as we progress from milk to meat to strong meat, we are allowing God to change us from the inside out. And it may seem strange to us after all these years of thinking the body is not that important, that the strong meat is there for the primary purpose of setting our bodies free. It's not as strange as you might think, because we are changed from the inside out. Spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body. And at some time, not today, but sometime in the future, we'll look at this correlation between the levels of the Word of God and the Pentecostomy. We know that the battleground is the mind. But we also know the battle is not for the mind, it's for control of the tongue. So the battleground is the mind, and we cast down those spiritual thoughts, those fiery darts of the enemy that try to rise up against the Word of God. So the battleground is in the mind for the tongue. But the battleground for the tongue, why the desire for the tongue? Because the tongue is what sets us free. The engrafted word sets your soul free. And we're going to see that the word of God coming out your mouth is going to set your body free. It's going to set your body free. So the battleground is the mind for control of the tongue. And control of the tongue is desired to set the body free. Why is the body so important? The body is the gateway to being legally here on earth. That's why Jesus was born of Mary, to be legally here on earth, to come in through the gateway to this earth legally, not as Satan did illegally, by usurping Adam's authority and dominion, by getting him to sin and to bow his knee to him. The word of righteousness that we saw in Hebrews 5:13, the word of righteousness is well described in Romans 6:16. That whosoever you obey, whether sin or whether holiness, righteousness, you are their servant. So we want to be servants of God. We want to keep His commandments. Jesus says, I know you love me if you keep my commandments. So we want to keep His commandments. Romans 6:16 tells you that we should take the righteousness that's in us, in our spirit, which is a free gift of God because we're born again. Take that righteousness and work it out into our members as holiness. The word of righteousness is telling us, take the righteousness that God gave you and work it into your members, into your body. That's also repeated in verse 19. So we are called to walk in the ways of righteousness, in the word of righteousness, which is to let God change us from the inside out. Righteousness in our spirit, then our heart, then our soul, then our body. That's the process of becoming a holy temple. Today, we're going to see how the Word of God plays the major role in helping you to get your body set free. So let's jump into the outline. We're going to look at the fact that God's Word is alive. Now, we are made in the image and likeness of God. So if God's Word is alive, so should our Word be alive. God is creative, so we are creative. It's the Word that is alive that creates. We are told in Romans 8:29 to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Well, the words of Jesus were creative. What words did He speak? He said, I want to speak what the Father says. That's what we should do. Speak only what the Father says. Speak only the Word, for the Word is creative. 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul wrote, that I bring my body under subjection, that lest when I have taught to others and get them set free, I myself become a castaway. He's hooking up together, being a castaway, and bringing the body under subjection. Just as Romans 6 hooks up together the righteousness flowing out into your body as holiness. Just as Hebrews 5 hooks up the strong meat with the five senses of the body. So let's look how to apply the powerful live Word of God to bring in our bodies into subjection. And we look at scriptures that show that all words are alive and that all words can release life or death. And finally, we look at some hindrances to healing. For if your body is not walking in shalom, perfect peace, shalom, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, then it has a challenge. It requires healing. And we see that in the major hindrances to healing, the word, the spoken word, is very dominant. So, starting at looking at that God's word is alive, scriptures tell you, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful. Quick and powerful. Doesn't mean the Word of God is fast, can run 109 seconds flat. No. The word quick means alive or life-giving. So, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it is written that the Lord Jesus will come to judge the quick and the dead. At His coming and at His kingdom. The quick and the dead, the alive and the dead. Those who are alive and those who are dead, when Jesus returns, will go to the judgment seat of Christ. Not to be confused with the judgment seat of God, which is the big, great white throne judgment. So Jesus is coming back to judge the quick and the dead. In Romans 8:11, it says, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal flesh. Meaning, the same Spirit of life who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and pumps life into your mortal flesh. Pumps life into your mortal flesh. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is life, and Jesus lives in you. God is the source of all life, and God lives in you. And life drives out the evil and the darkness and the death. So the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit who's going to raise the two witnesses from the dead in a few short years in Jerusalem, dwells in you and pumps life into your mortal flesh. So the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to a sundering, dividing between spirit and soul, marrow and the joints, and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the Word of God, very powerful and alive. How else do we see that it is alive? Ephesians 6:17, in the armor of God, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when Jesus returns, Revelation 19:15 says, and out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword. Out of his mouth comes this two-edged sword with which he will smite the nations and rule with a rod of iron. If you read it carefully, grammatically, what it's saying is with a two-edged sword, he will smite the nation, and with a two-edged sword, he'll rule with a rod of iron. Because the two-edged sword is the Word of God, and the rod of iron is the Word of God. So with the two-edged sword, he will rule with a rod of iron, and it's coming out his mouth. In Revelation 19:21, after the Battle of Armageddon, it says, the sword out of the mouth of Jesus will slay the remnant of what's left of the army of the Antichrist. The Word of God coming out of his mouth. So the Word of God is quick and powerful. And we are made in the image of God. The Word coming out of our mouth is also alive. Because the Word coming out of God's mouth, the Word coming out of the mouth of Jesus, is the same Word coming out of our mouth. It is the Word of God. We have it written here, and we speak it out. And we know Psalm 103:20 says, the angels await the voicing of the Word. Because when the Word is spoken, it's alive. It's issuing commands. It's causing things to change. Your Word is alive. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. Out of your heart flows all the issues of life. Well, Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you speak out of the abundance of your heart, when the abundance of your heart is the Word of God, when it has been engrafted into your heart, the Word of God comes out of the abundance of your heart. The issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. For the Word of God, which is alive, comes out your mouth and creates and restores and heals. For the Word of God is alive, and the Word of God in your mouth, coming out of the abundance of the Word in your heart, is alive. Matthew 12:35, and Jesus said, for A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bring forth evil things. And he says, goes on to say, and I say unto you, that for every idle word you speak, for every idle word you speak, you shall give account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you are condemned, and by your words you are justified. Because you have this life in you, you have the life of God in you, and we should be passing on nothing but the glory. We should be speaking nothing that does not bring grace to the hearer. That's why the scriptures say, let your words be yea and amen. Let your words be yea and nay. Anything else is of the devil. For if you're not speaking life, if you're not speaking the word of God, whatever else you say is going to come from the devil or lead to the devil. In James 1:21, we reference it. That word of God in your heart, engrafted in your heart, becoming part of you, becoming automatic as you speak it, that word sets your soul free. The word of God sets your soul free. The words that you speak, James chapter 3 says, leads you and your life the way the rudder guides a ship, the way the bridle guides a horse. And your tongue is full of unruly evil. That's why there's a battle in the mind to control the tongue. Because if God controls your tongue, if the Holy Spirit controls your tongue, if the word of God comes out to your tongue, you're speaking life. Speaking life to your body. Setting your body free to let righteousness have its way in your body. But if the devil controls your tongue, if you speak the first thing that pops into your mind, then unruly evil will come out of your mouth, out of your tongue. And we see this so clearly in section C of the outline. Your tongue can release life or death. First scripture, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are the power of your tongue. Death and life are the power of your tongue. And he that loves it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whatever you love to speak, if you love to speak life, you eat the fruit of life. If you love to speak death, you speak the fruit of death. Matthew 30, verse 19. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this. Imagine that. God is calling heaven and earth to record his words. His words which never pass away. His words which never fail. His words which can't be wrong. His words which are above his name. Which word is his bond? He's calling heaven and earth to record it against us. That this day I give you a choice. Choose life or choose death. Choose blessing or cursing. And how do you choose it? By the words of your mouth. Because with your mouth, you choose to speak life, which is the word of God, or you choose to speak death, which is the word of the devil. You can let righteousness flow from your spirit out to set your soul free and to set your body free by speaking God's word. For your tongue sets your soul free. Your tongue guides your soul. So death and life in the power of the tongue. And he who loves it will eat the fruit thereof. Let us all learn. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to help us to love the word of God, to have the abundance of our heart be the word of God, to speak the word of God, and always be determined to pass on nothing but his glory. We pass on nothing but his glory by speaking only words which bring grace to the hearer. That's a commitment we should make. Always speak the word of God. Look at David in 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. David said, And God, here's what God is going to help me do. I'm going to smite Goliath today. I'm going to take his head off. The words he spoke were life to Israel's, but it was death to Goliath. For the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it can cut one way or the other way. If you hear the word of God and you accept it, if you hear the word of the gospel and you accept it, then you are saved. But if you reject it, then you're damned. Same word, cutting two ways. If we hear the word and our heart is softened, then we can receive God's blessing from that word. If our hearts are hardened, the word is cut off from us. God's power can't come out to help us. The word of God is so powerful. You all know the story of Jesus and the fig tree. He had seen this fig tree, he was hungry, there were leaves on it, which means it should have fruit. Fruits typically come out even before the leaves. And he got there, and there was no fruit. And it says, henceforth, no man shall eat of you forever. He cursed it. And the fig tree withered up and died. But the next day, it was withered up and died. That's the kind of power you have in your words. You can release life or death. You can release death for cancer and death to COVID-19. But you can release life for yourself. We are here and we have this wonderful opportunity that God has somehow managed to bless us all with it, which is to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. But between now and when Jesus returns, there have been many challenges to overcome. As most of you know, left to myself, I would have asked the Lord to take my spirit out of my body and gone to heaven a long time ago. I mean, why in the world would we want to go through all these challenges coming up in the world, like this pandemic? This world isn't that hot. It isn't that great. It's falling apart. It's deteriorating. It's decaying. It's full of evil. Sin is just abounding. That's why Jesus is coming back, because the sin is bringing it to an end. But to live through all this as an overcomer, to live through this, to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, arguably the greatest event in history. And we have not just front row seats, we can be active participants. And especially prepared for it when we start to think of our word as alive and treating our word as a precious commodity that it is. The word which can be the word of God, or the word which can bring death when we don't want it. Jesus, in Mark 5:41 and 42, said to the child of 12 years old who had died, Talitha kumi, which is interpreting, I say to you, arise. And she rose up, back from the dead. The power of God's word in a son of man. Jesus called himself Son of Man 85 times. The power of God's word in the Son of Man. And we are also Son of Man, because we are all birthed of woman on this earth. God's word in Jesus, the Son of Man, were miracles, signs, and wonders. And we've all experienced miracles, signs, and wonders. But we need to move to where they're an ongoing daily event. And we do that as we understand the word, your word, is alive. Alive with power. So, The Word is alive. God wants to change us from the inside out, spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body. And we know the importance of the body. You have to be in the body here to be ministering on earth. You have to be in the body to have authority and dominion on earth. So, we here on earth have the authority and dominion over the earth, not just the authority and dominion given to Adam, but the authority and dominion given to us when Jesus left. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go minister the gospel. We are his representative. We are the body of Christ on earth. We are ambassadors of him. And we have this word which is alive in our mouth that we can release. God created heaven and earth, created everything by speaking. By speaking it into existence. And so, you can picture the word leaving you and going out. When does it stop? It doesn't stop. God's word doesn't stop. So scientists tell us the universe, which is everything, keeps expanding. And you're thinking, if it's everything, what is it expanding into? It must be some place to expand into. If you say, well, it's everything, so there's no place for it to expand into, then there's a barrier, and a barrier is something. See, I think science can't handle some of these issues. So, the universe keeps expanding. That's why, of the increase of his government, there'll never be an end. Because what he's governing, from a physical point of view, keeps increasing. So we have this power. We have this word which is alive. And we are starting to feed on strong meat. And we should use that to bring the righteousness from our spirit out through our heart, through our tongue, set our souls free, and set our bodies free, restored from the bruising. Sounds a lot like prayers. Now let's look at some of the hindrances to healing. And let's see how this word of life applies to the healing. In fact, to the hindrance to healing. Part D, the hindrances to healing. If you're having a challenge getting the manifestation to your healing, almost surely, as close to 100% as you can get, without being 100%, your problem is on this list. Six items. For everybody. Including non-ABCers and even people who are not believers. One is, number one, they're not confessing their sins frequently. Not confessing their sins frequently. Number two, they're not doing affirmations. Number three, they're not doing affirmations correctly. Now, if you say, I'm doing all three, okay, then number four is a biggie. You're walking in unforgiveness. If you're doing the first three correctly, almost surely you're walking in unforgiveness. I have found that way over 95% of all the challenges I deal with is founded in unforgiveness. Number five, suppose you're doing the first four correctly, which is very, very unlikely. But if you are, if you're having a challenge, it's almost surely you're doing one of the first four. But suppose you are doing all four correctly. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe ABCs think they're doing all four correctly. What I'm saying is you're not. Go double check it and see what you're doing wrong. Number five, you're canceling your prayers with your words. You're canceling your prayers with your words. That's the number one reason why for young believers, that's the number one reason why the prayers aren't answered. For ABCers who've been here a few years, I would believe the number one reason is unforgiveness, and the number two reason is canceling your prayers with your words. And then the last one, you're walking in strife. Now, I understand that you love God and you're trying to do your best. And you probably thought before I did this teaching that you're doing well in all these areas. But I want you to assume that you're doing something wrong in these areas. I know in Healing School Semester 2 and Healing School Semester 3, we have each one a long list of a checklist of manifesting your healing for advanced cases. But in most cases, you don't need to go through those two. This list will set you free. How do I know? Because I've been using this list to speak to strong believers for a long time and finding the challenges. One strong believer who was paralyzed up to the neck. I went over the list and found what she was doing incorrectly. And within, I think it's 5 minutes. I think the whole process took 15 minutes. I don't quite recall. It's been some time. But somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes, the paralysis was gone. That's how important these items are. And why should it not be so? Because the Word of God in you is alive, and you're speaking healing over your bodies. They should line up to the Word of God. My body should line up to the Word of God. All our bodies should line up so we can walk in divine life and divine health. Looking at these six items, how many of them are, what's the word? Dependent on, focused on, powered by, consist of the Word. It's all about the Word. First one, you're not confessing your sins frequently. How do you confess your sins? With words. Words of life. That should be done accurately and consistently according to the Scriptures. You don't, under the age of grace, say, Lord, forgive me of these sins. No, your sins have been forgiven. Already, you say, Lord, I confess that I made this mistake. Thank you for my forgiveness, because it's been paid for already. And in the name of Jesus, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In that one statement, a number of you just suddenly realize what you're doing wrong. You don't go to God and say, God, please forgive me. What you're saying, Lord, is, I don't believe you forgive me when Jesus took all my sins. And it's all about the words. Speaking the word of life, which must be consistent with the Bible. When you go under the age of grace and say, I did this, Lord, please forgive me, you're not speaking word of life. You're speaking word of death. Because word of life wouldn't contradict the Bible, which says, Jesus took all your sins, you've been forgiven. You are the righteousness of God. When you say, forgive me, you're saying, I don't believe all that. Number two, you're not doing affirmations. Around ABC, that's not typically an issue. But when you are doing affirmations, you are speaking the Word of God precisely and exactly as it is. And Healing School, Semester 1, we teach there are 40 wonderful things that occur when you speak the Word of God. 40, 4-0. How many can you write down right now? And affirmations is, as you all know, speaking words, loosing life. Speaking, doing affirmations incorrectly, that's very similar to number one. If you're doing it incorrectly, you're not speaking the word of life. You're not speaking the word of God. Walking in unforgiveness. The word of God says if you walk in unforgiveness, your prayers are blocked. End of story. It's that simple. Number five, you're canceling your prayers with your words. So many people have not yet got, not necessarily ABC, but people that I come across, have not yet got the understanding that once you pray based on Mark 11:24, and every prayer is based on Mark 11:24, The 12, you teach 12 types of prayers. All of them, foundationally, come back to Mark 11:24. You must believe that when you pray, that God hears it and acknowledges it and acts on it immediately. Prayers and worship, you're praising God. It's a prayer. It's a prayer of praise. Do you believe when you're praising God, God is here hearing your praise? Of course you do. Do you think he's receiving your praise? Of course. Because if you didn't, you'd be canceling the prayers. Same thing with every form of prayer. So if you are canceling your prayers with your words, typically by re-praying, I say, well, I guess it didn't happen, or God doesn't want me to have it. Or what some people think is clever, God always answers prayers, but sometimes the answer is no. That's no place in the Bible. And finally, the biggie, walking in strife. All of us at some time, I'm sure, have said, how could Adams be so dumb, bad, whatever, to loose all this evil into the world? Which he did, by transgressing the law. He sinned, which means he made himself the servant to Satan. Romans 6:16 and Romans 6:19. He made himself the servant to Satan by sinning, by disobeying God's law. And the scriptures, the word of God says, every time when there's envying and strife, James 3:16, when there's envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Confusion and every evil work. Strife opens the door into your life for every evil work. Opens the door into your body for every evil work. And just as you take a rock and throw it into a placid, still pond, and the ripples go out from the one rock for quite a while, probably all the way across to the other shore. When you lose strife into your life, into your home, it spreads. It can spread to your neighbors. It can spread to your family. When there's envying and strife, you open your door into your life, into your body, for every evil work, just as Adam did. So what we want to do is take this word of God, which is alive, and speak to our bodies. Your body must be obedient to you. The battleground is for the mind, to control the tongue. One of the main purposes of the tongue is to control your body. The great Smith Wigglesworth would say, I never ask my body how it feels. I tell it. Let me tell you, that's great theology. I never ask my body how it feels. I tell it. And that's where strong meat comes in. To believe that your word is alive, that it is so powerful that you can bring your body into subjection and tell it how to feel. That you can speak a sphere of warmth around you when it's freezing outside. Now when it's hot, you can put coolness around you. That you can tell your body, here's how much food you have to eat today. You're going to live and you're going to be fruitful and be blessed without hunger under some other food. Your body belongs to you. And your word of life can change your body and change your life. That's why it's strong meat. Because we desire to be a holy temple of a holy God. Without any excess of carnality in the body. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It starts with the word therefore. Why therefore? Because it just finished talking about righteousness. talking about sin. Power sin has been broken in your life. You are under grace. You have no sin. You are righteous. Therefore, because you're righteous, there's no condemnation. The condemnation of sin bringing death is gone. The condemnation of sin leading you to death is gone. Therefore, there's no condemnation. You're not on death row waiting to die. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're born again, and you're in Christ Jesus. If you're born again for those who are in Christ Jesus, if you're born again and you're living with Christ as your Lord, death is not your destiny. If you walk in the Spirit, you're focused on what does God want you to do, which is what it means to have Jesus as your Lord, which is what it means to walk in Christ. If you're walking in Christ, walking with Jesus as your Lord, then you're walking in the Spirit. For those who are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, if you're not walking with Christ, if you're not walking in Christ, if you're not walking with Jesus as Lord, then you're walking in the flesh. And if you're walking in the flesh, then yes, then there's condemnation in your life and death ahead, which is true for much of the body of Christ. Because they believe it and they accept it. And as they believe, so they'll receive. They think they're going to die and they will die. But if you understand 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. That we don't have to die. We will not die because we'll be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Therefore, there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Yeah, you may make a mistake once in a while and fall down in carnality. That's why we confess our sins. So there is no condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Going on to verse 2. Therefore, there is no condemnation for the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I left out two words. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? If you sin, you die. But the law of the Spirit of life says you don't have to die because you have life, the law of the Spirit of life. But how do you live in this law of the Spirit of life? You have to be in Christ. You have to be in Christ. You have to be in Christ Jesus. You have to live with Jesus as Lord. Let's put it together, hitting the major phrases. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life, for those who are in Christ, has set you free from the law of sin and death. You want to be alive and remain when Jesus returns? Understand that you live with Jesus as Lord. You live in Christ, meaning Jesus is your Lord. You do what He wants you to do. And that the words you speak are the words of God. And they set your body free. So God can fill your entire being, not just your spirit. And you're filled with the fullness of God, as Ephesians 3:19 says, we should move towards. Being filled with the fullness of God. That we are complete in Christ Jesus. Complete in Christ Jesus. By understanding that your word is alive. And that the strong meat is there for you to discern between good and bad. So you can tell your body what to do and tell your body what not to do. To set your body free. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. That for each person who hears us, live or by recording, that you open up their hearts, soften their hearts, open their ears, that they may have hearing ears, seeing eyes, and hearts soften to the truth of God's word. Hearts soften to the truth of God's word, not hearts hardened by what they've heard all their lives and by what they think the Bible says, but hearts open to what the Bible does say, not what they think it says. Thank you, Father, for setting and helping each of us to accept your salvation, to be set free, and to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. And I hope you all pay strict attention to words. Bible has a lot to say about words. So if you think you hear a lot about words here at ABC, we're just reflecting what the Bible says, because God wants us to pay attention. He wants us to understand how important our words are and how creative they can be for good or for bad. It's our choice. He's given us free will. We have a choice, but we need to make ourselves aware. So often we're so used to just flying, what is the expression, something from the hip, and shooting from the hip, and we just, words just fly out. We have thoughts and we're expressing them already. And we're not even evaluating, oh, should I be thinking that? Should I be saying that? But we need to do that. We need to make sure our words, our thoughts, which are about to be put into words, line up with the Word of God and bring grace to the hearer and create the kinds of things that we want them to. I always like to go back to Genesis 1, and God said, 10 times, and God said, and it was. And then God created man in his image, in his likeness, Genesis 3. And if that means we're made in his likeness and his image, when he speaks, he creates. That means then when we speak, we create. But he's given us that free will to choose what we're going to say. For God, it's a given. For us, it's a choice. But we need to work on our choices so that our choices become the given that lines up with God's given, his word of God, absolute, without change, and will always be. So why don't we take these thoughts to the communion table, get our elements out, and be ready to run to Jesus. He's made his word available to us, and that is such a wonderful thing, such a wonderful thing. So let's take the body of Jesus in our hands. And we thank you, Father, that our sins have been forgiven. We thank you, Lord, that you are cleansing us from all unrighteousness. As we run to you now in a state of righteousness to receive the broken body of Jesus. For on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We remember, Lord Jesus, that your word says that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Past tense, completed work, done deal. It all belongs to us. Jesus did not leave anything hanging or missing or broken, but it's all a complete work. And so now it's up to us to receive that which he paid for. That which belongs to us, the healing, the health, the life, the strength, it all belongs to us because Jesus paid the price. So we can now exercise our faith action plan by partaking of the broken body of Jesus in exchange to receive our healing and our wholeness anywhere and everywhere in our bodies where Satan has been challenging us. We choose to partake in remembrance, in rejoicing, as we partake together in Jesus' name. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Jesus shed his blood and used it to establish a new and better covenant with Abba Daddy, with Almighty God, on our behalf. He made us covenant partners. So all the promises that are in his word, all the promises of the covenants, even the old covenant, for he came to seal the old covenant as well as establish the new. So all of these promises are available to us. And they include life and health and strength and wisdom and guidance and direction and protection and prosperity and healing and everything we need is in this cup of blessing. Jesus paid for all of it that we would ever need. And we are so grateful to you, Jesus. We are so very grateful. And we partake of this cup of life, this cup of blessing. And we thank you, Jesus, as we now partake together in Jesus' name.